You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to MLB.com Extras. I'm Matthew Leach, talking Toronto Blue Jays with MLB.com Blue Jays beat reporter Gregor Chisholm. Gregor, it appears that one thing that this team desperately needed is starting to happen, which is Drew Hutchison is seemingly coming on. He's got three good starts out of four. Now, I know he's been up and down this year and had good and bad, but this seems to be approaching a trend. What is different about him in these recent starts where things are going better for him?
Well, he really, a few starts ago, really started to get his fastball command kind of figured out. He was leaving a lot of pitches up in the zone early on in the season. He was just not looking like the guy that anybody really expected. I mean, there's a lot of kind of questionable pieces in that rotation, but he wasn't really considered one of them, even though he was, you know, coming in with not a whole lot of experience into this year. But it really starts with fastball command that also has made his slider a lot more effective, and he's really looked like a completely different guy over the last four starts. I mean, his complete game earlier this week was really reminiscent of an outing he had last year in Texas when he was able to kind of accomplish the same thing. And, you know, those are the type of outings that they're going to need from him because, you know, he was the opening day starter for a reason. Even though this team, you know, doesn't have that bona fide ace, he's still someone who's been expected to kind of help lead things for those starters. And as they kind of turn around, it's no coincidence, in my opinion, that it's kind of happening around the same time that Hutchison's kind of leading the way.
And I mean, elsewhere in that rotation, what else is there to sort of be excited about? What can a Jays fan kind of hang his or her hat on right now with this rotation beyond Hutchison? Because it seems like Dickey is still struggling to find traction, and they're still kind of looking for the rest of it.
Yeah, and to me, the biggest wild card in all of this is still Aaron Sanchez, and that was the case going into the year, and it's still the case now. And, you know, he's been able to show some flashes. You know, it wasn't that long ago we were talking about the Blue Jays possibly moving him back to the bullpen. It was a suggestion that John Gibbons brought up, you know, as recently as a few weeks ago. But all that talk is really kind of gone away. And, you know, the big reason why is because, you know, he started to figure out command. And there's going to be some ups and downs along the way, especially with a starter as inexperienced as he is. He's not going to be flawless by any means. But the big encouraging thing is that, you know, he walked six guys, and then his next start he walked five, and then four, and then three, and then in his last out he got it down to two. So, you know, decreasing that each time out is really beneficial. I think a lot of it goes back to a change the Jays made behind the plate. They simply have Russell Martin setting up down the middle now as opposed to on the corners, and they're kind of letting the sinker, you know, have the movement on that and as opposed to trying to be too fine, and that's kind of helped him a little bit. But when you look at his upside, he's someone that the Blue Jays really need to get going, especially when some other people in the rotation, especially a guy like Dickey, is still really struggling to kind of figure things out.
Where are they with Dickey? I mean, he's such a big part of this. They're paying him a lot of money. They gave up a lot to get him. And even at his worst, presumably he gives innings. But so I guess I'm asking a question that I know the answer to, but is there anything they can do beyond just wait on him? Because if this guy's getting beat around every fifth day, it's a problem.
Yeah, and I don't think there really is much they can do. You know, I think Dickey for a while was at a loss for answers. He's been a little bit more positive over the last two outings. He did have a good start two outings ago. But the start against Chicago this week was another big setback for him. And, you know, the one encouraging thing for him after that game was that, you know, he did have that swing and miss knuckleball a little bit this week, and he certainly had at the start before, and that's something he didn't have all year until the last two outings. So that's one small, you know, piece of positive news he can take away from it. His line this week against Chicago looked a little bit worse than it actually was, and that's because he certainly didn't get any help in the field. There was a drop fly ball in the outfield. There was a few double plays that didn't get turned. It could have been a better outing for him. There wasn't all that much hard contact with the exception of, you know, a very poorly located fastball to Jose Abreu that kind of turned things in Chicago's favor for a while. So there are a few positive things, but the fact that, you know, we're still sitting here, you know, towards the end of May and he's got an ERA well over five, that's not where he envisioned himself at this time. It's certainly not where the Blue Jays envisioned himself being.
As they look for answers to get the rotation as a whole going, What's the word on Daniel Norris down in AAA as he tries to get back to the status that made him part of their season opening rotation?
Yeah, and Norris has been a tough one to figure out, and you know, there's been some encouraging signs with him as well in AAA Buffalo, but the consistency hasn't quite been there, and for him, just like these other guys, I mean, I guess it's not a surprise, but it again comes back to command. I mean, he was a guy who, when he was in Toronto earlier this year, his pitch counts really ran up quite high early on in games, and even though the ERA was respectable because he was able to limit the damage of runners in scoring position, he just wasn't able to get deep into games at all. We've seen some signs of that in Buffalo, but then there's been also the really good outings as well. So he's someone who's going to have to put it together, you know, for three, four starts in a row for the Blue Jays to, I think, seriously take a look at him. And, you know, right now there's not a spot for him that's open. You know, Marco Estrada would probably be the, you know, the obvious pick for a move back to the bullpen, but he's done enough so far after getting fully stretched out to secure his job for a little bit. So I don't think the Blue Jays are going to make a change soon. But, you know, if we get towards the end of June and Estrada's not doing well, or if he has a couple of rough starts, it could change in a hurry as well.
Let's talk injury updates, because that remains a story with this club. Jose Bautista had a huge night last night as we talk, and yet he's still limited. It looked optimistic. Now I don't know. What's his status as far as getting back to playing some defense again?
Well, you know, kind of as we touched on last week, you know, there's that end date where the Jays won't admit it and Bautista won't admit it. But I think that, you know, he's got to be able to play right field when the Blue Jays open up an interleague series on Monday in Washington, because, you know, it just doesn't make sense to keep him on the active roster for a, you know, for a really, really much longer than they've already gone. If he's not able to play the field, you can, there's some off days coming up. You've got three games in Washington, so you can, you know, utilize that schedule a little bit to minimize the amount of games that he's missed. However, you know, Bautista thinks, you know, cautiously thinks that he's going to be able to play the field on Monday. You know, he's thrown three times this week now, so that's an encouraging sign after getting the cortisone shot to relieve some of the pain in that area. And, but really, I mean, this is, it's, if you would have asked me, you know, a month ago, I would have said he only would have been about a week before being able to get back into action in right field. So it's really a day-by-day situation, and they really kind of just have to wait and see how it feels. But at some point, I think over the next few days, we're going to get a clearer idea of exactly where he is, because I just don't think the Jays can allow it to go on too much longer unless they see some real progress.
And then what's the latest with Devin Travis?
And Travis, a little bit more encouraging. He took ground balls for the first time on Wednesday, and so he'll continue that over the next couple of days. The big test for him in that sore shoulder is going to be when he starts swinging, and that's something he hasn't done yet. But, you know, just talking with him on Wednesday morning, he was really encouraged at how much he's improved over the last couple of days. He was almost depressed for as energetic and as you know, a guy as he is. He was borderline depressed earlier this week because it was the first time he's had to go through this in his big league, short big league career. But he's seen some improvement over the last couple of days, so he remains cautiously optimistic. He's able to come off the DL on Monday. I don't think he'll do it quite that quickly, because I think he's going to have to hit for a couple of days and then go on a brief rehab assignment. But when the Blue Jays return home after the Washington series, next Thursday, it's possible that he would be ready to go for that series against the Astros.
Now, I just want to ask one big picture question. We talked either last week or week before just about the window and about this team, sort of the urgency for them to be in a win-now mode, and I kind of want to ask a related question of that. The AL East is really interesting because there's not a lousy team anywhere in the division, but there's also not a particularly terrific team anywhere in the division, and so even a team that's struggling and below 500 is very much in the mix. So I'm wondering, as the Blue Jays look at what they've got and look at the division, how do they kind of view their place within this division where nobody is really finding any consistent traction?
Yeah, and I mean, the start that the Blue Jays got off to this year was in some ways almost somewhat similar to what they went through in 2013. And in that case, they were buried in the division very early on, and you know, this is, you know, if they started this year and really any of the past several years, it would have been a very similar case. And you look at teams in the AL Central, That have a record around the Blue Jays, and they're, deep and very deep in the standings already. The Jays are very, very fortunate that they're still within striking distance, considering, the first 6 weeks of the season didn't really go very well at all. But they're very much in that mix, and that's even more of a case to make a push for it this year because of that window of opportunity. The AL East over, the last couple of years, really, until Baltimore kind of took advantage of things last year, but they didn't get a strong out of the gate either. This entire window of opportunity that the Jays have had has really been kind of a focus, and that's why they really have to kind of zero in on. It's going to be interesting to see how Anthopoulos manages that because he's trying to keep the window open for the future while also winning now, and that's a very difficult task to accomplish. But it does certainly provide some ammunition that if we get towards the end of June and the Blue Jays still find themselves within striking distance of first place, that you would think that they would make a push for it. And this year, unlike years past, it seems like they do have some money available at the deadline because they didn't spend a lot this offseason, with the exception of a backloaded contract to Russell Martin. So the funds are available. The question is how much of their young talent they're going to be willing to give up in the minor leagues in order to take that next step.
All right, well, Gregor Chisholm, thanks for taking some time to chat here on MLB.com Extras, and thanks everybody for listening.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.